This week I heard on the TV and I read on the web and I also looked on the one of my texts. There's a man that was supposed to be a man of God, a preacher. I'd call his name out, but you can find it on the web yourself. I guess you can just anytime just type in preachers molesting women, preachers spreading HIV. If you just type in Google, local pastor, pastor spreads HIV to the congregants. And I thought about that, and it was such a dastardly thing to do. For a man to call himself a man of God, to go and take his genitals and combine them with another one and become one in the flesh while he's HIV positive and spread that to somebody else, that's a bastardization of what God wanted insofar as a man being a man of God. Period. It's inexcusable. Somebody say, he can be forgiven? Not without repentance. Not in my Bible. Now, maybe your Bible that was maybe written by some theologian or by somebody that wants to make God real sweet and pastry-like, maybe so. But the God of the Bible that I read, I wanted to pick up a Bible, but since I use a computer, the God of the Bible that I talk about, he is unapologetically God. He doesn't ask for our opinions on how he's going to do it. He's fully confident in his godhood, his decisions, and the things that he does. And in his godhood, bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. The cherubim was with the Ark of the Covenant, and the two angels would face each other, and they were guardians. And that's what's supposed to be his throne. Bless his name. He makes it where I am so other than what other people are. They can try to create out of what I've already made. They can use judgment based on what I've given. But I am the originator. And therefore, I'm the one that set things in motion. Laws, I set your planet in motion. And therefore, the one thing you need to understand is that I am always the creator. You are the created. I am the lawgiver. You are the law follower. I am the one that allows you to come into covenant with me. There is no equality with me that you have. You can share in fellowship with me. But as the young people say, don't get it twisted. Our passage today, we're going to talk about the family must separate themselves to Yahweh. We're still in Ezekiel. We're still dealing with restoration. We talked about the altar on Thursday. We talked about how sacrifices would be there to cleanse people up during that process. And that you just don't get to come back to God when you've been wicked, when you've been ungodly, when you've lived a wretched and a nasty life. You don't get to come back to God when you're wicked and you've lived a nasty and a wretched life. You don't get to come back to God as if everything is okay because you apologize. The title again is The Family Must Separate Themselves to Yahweh. It was written too small for you, wasn't it? Please forgive me. Sometimes I forget that it needs to be a little bigger for you. So here's the deal. You'll have somebody go to a church or to an assembly, or maybe something bad happens, they break their leg. Or something happens to somebody in the family, their mama dies. And they go to the church and all of a sudden, I'm saved now, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I'm forgiven. But you've not brought any fruits for repentance. Because you don't know the word of God. You don't understand that God is not your buddy. He is not your friend. In other words, in order to be a friend of God, you have to be in covenant with him. That's why Jesus could say in John chapter 15, I've called you friend. He said, because a friend. He's the one to get to know what the king is doing. That's a position. It's not like, this sister's my friend, or Rich is my friend, or Brother Charles. No. This is a person that's being brought into confidence with me and understands what I'm doing. Give you a case in point. Ahithophel was considered David's friend. And so when Jesus talks about this man comes and kisses him, hell, master. You know his name? Judas. He said, friend, why do you betray me with a kiss? You've been in council with me. You know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, Jesus said, I call you friend. And what I want you to understand and what I need us to understand today, that when the individual comes back to God, you're not automatically friend unless you're willing to be subject to him. Unless the family is willing to be subject to God, we're going to have an bastardization of what family is supposed to be. This assembly will disintegrate if God is not the father of us all. Blessed is the everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Coming back to God, being restored to God, is doing it his way. It's not about a song. He sung a beautiful song. We just sung a beautiful song. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You've been so good to me. Well, what about when I'm tempted? What about when somebody lie on me? Do we do like the old folks say, I'm going to take my religion, I'm going to lay it down, I'm going to cuss her out, or I'm going to bust him in the lip? That's what we used to say when we were little. It was, I don't know what it was about the lip, but it's, I'm going to give you a busted lip. Now they say they're going to pop a cap somewhere. That means they're going to put it moved from busting the lip to getting shot with a bullet. How does this fit? Israel is being restored, but they have to acknowledge their guilt. They have to acknowledge the dirt that they've done. And they have to keep themselves purified by God by his own standard. That's his grace. Let's roll into this 44th chapter. Now that we have seen on Thursday that the altar was prepared, the horns of the altar have been dedicated, the settles around it have been dedicated with the blood, and that we realize that God is in his holy throne in this Ezekiel temple, and that now sacrifices are going to be made according to the way God does it, and there's a separation between in the sacrifices. That's what you see right here in number 2. I have 3 points here. Between the holy and unholy, God has always been that way. And if you think holy is your church, that's a damnable lie. Damnable lie. Damnable lie. Holy has nothing to do with the name of your church unless your assembly is able to separate what God is from what other things are. It's not holy. I could name a child holy and he'd be wicked, okay? I could name a child wicked and he'd be holy. If he separate himself to God, he's holy. Here between rewards of good and better, we're going to see a group of people called the Levites that once had the ability to serve Aaron and his sons as a priesthood. Some of my commentaries say they weren't demoted. I don't care what they say. If you're not where you were and you're brought down here, but you're still a part of whatever, you're demoted. Yes, you are. If I'm the lead man on the job making $50 an hour, and because I don't come to work, I don't show up, or I've been coming in drunk or whatever, but I'm good at what I do, and they make a reconciliation and decide to let me come back to work. But Tim, you're no longer the lead man. You are his assistant. Now, instead of me making $50 an hour, I'm making $22 an hour. And instead of me being able to go to break when I want to, I get to go to break when he's... I'm still on the job. But I've been demoted. Is that how it works, HR? And that's how it works on jobs. We're going to see the Levites have been brought down a step from where they were, which means something to us. We come back to God, we go and we fall away, and if God grants us repentance like we talked about Thursday, we come back and often we know we don't have the same ability that we once had. Sometimes we know we don't have the fire that we once had. Some people have either been shot, they have a record now that they didn't have before. You've hurt people that you can't change. You can't change what you've done. Maybe you've made children that you can't even take care of because now the mother has taken them away somewhere else, or you had gotten on drugs and lost your children. What? And some things you can't correct, but you can still come back to God and be restored. But don't come back thinking you're coming back to God and I'm going to just walk back up in the church like they do on Tyler Perry movies and sing and the whole church fall out and everything's okay. It may be in the eyes of man, but the family need to know we got to be separate to God. And his standard, as I was talking to this lady today that's called my wife, she said, God's standard just has to be lifted up. It don't matter what other people say. It's his standard. Then the third part, between those who serve and their qualifications. If you see me living a wicked and an ungodly life and you follow me, you're a fool. You are a fool to listen to me and you see that I'm not serious about serving God. I'm trying to beat you out of your money. I'm trying to molest your children. I'm a lying, hypocritical fraud and you still follow me talking about, I got to forgive him? No, you don't. God will not. Well, could you be restored? Yeah, but somebody need to correct. When I was wicked and ungodly, I used to say, somebody need to give me a biblical kick in the rump. And I didn't say rump. Because I realized without God's judgment and something didn't happen to me, I wasn't going to change. I knew it. As long as things was going well, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it one day. One day I'm going to straighten up. One day, you know how long it takes one day to come? One day will allow this to happen, okay? One day, I'm going to stop eating that grease. One day, I'm going to cut down the... sometimes you just have to grab the horns of the altar or the bull by the horns and just go on and suffer so that you can benefit. Mm-hmm. And don't I have a living witness back there? Can I get an amen from her? You just have to do what you got to do. Now let's look at our passage 44:1. Read for me, please.
Then he brought me back the way of the gate.
We're talking about Ezekiel. Ezekiel is now going outside of this temple. When we looked at it, 875 feet square, remember? That's about 3 football fields. Football field is 300 yards. Okay? I mean, 100 yards, but 300 feet. I got it backwards. 100 yards, 3 feet makes a yard. So about 3 football fields all the way long and square. It's not exact, but it gives you an idea because most people here in this room have seen a football field. So imagine the length of a football field. 3 of them back to back to back, and that's how square it is. And so he's brought Ezekiel back from where the altar is, looking from what he's seen at the altar, looking at the room where the priests were, and he's brought him back outside to where we are at the east gate. Are you following me now? Because some commentators have a problem, and they think that something is wrong with what he's saying. So I'll read what they say, see if I can glean some information, but some things they say I don't like. Is that he brought me back by the way of the gate. Where is it?
Of the outward sanctuary, which looks toward the east, and it was shut.
So on this temple that we're looking at, I know we're not going to try to draw the whole temple, but at least I just want to give you just a piece of what's going on. If the east is here, then the west is here, and if I make the north here and the south here, I really don't like that better because I like north on the top for some reason. I'm going to put south on the bottom and east this way, sis. I know that if you're looking at a map, the east is going toward China, Asia, and that way, and the west is coming over here toward America, okay? So I'm going to erase this part, and I just want to give you just one little piece. If this is a whole big building and you have a gate here that's looking toward the east is still this way, and then we have the west that didn't have a gate. Mm-hmm. You have a gate at the north. You have a gate at the south. What he's saying is, you brought me out and brought me to the gate that looks toward the east. You brought me to the gate that's looking toward Asia, that's looking toward Iran, that's looking toward India. Got me? Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. All right, I'm through with the drawing. Let's read some more.
Then said Yahweh unto me.
Go back and read it again because there's a part in there that's important.
Then he brought me back the way of the gate out of the outward sanctuary, which looks toward the east. And it was shut.
It was shut. We saw Yahweh come in, and it's shut. Now, I used to hear guys say stuff like this. They would throw a little line. They would try to be talking about how great they are. I am me. There's none like me. There was none before me. There neither will there be any after me. You know, it would say stuff like that. Well, I'm trying to help you understand. When Yahweh comes in this temple, there's nobody else coming in this door after him. The door is shut. I shut the door. I came in. I am the king. I rule this camp. And I shut this gate. This is my entrance way. And I need you to understand there needs to be a separation between me and you. You need to understand, as me being Yahweh God Almighty, you are not equal to me in no way. I have privileges and rights that you don't have. And sometimes we get the categories confused. In logic, that's called a categorical fallacy. You see, whereas the child say to the parent, well, he see the child might see the parent drink a little glass of wine, and the parent tell the child, you can't. Well, you did. Well, you had a categorical fallacy. You are the child. I am the adult. I know what is to be, and you don't know what is to be, and you're dependent on me to tell you. That's how that works. When it comes to God, if God say, I will strike a man down dead for lying to me, that doesn't mean that you can, and it doesn't mean that God is evil when he does it, because we don't think God still strike people dead. I don't understand what it is. You see all these things about natural causes, or we can't determine how they die. You think God has forgotten how to smite? I wish I could just call into this room, Ananias and Sapphira, will you come in and let the assembly know what it feels like to have God smite in the New Testament? Lord, have mercy. We better begin to understand who he is and start letting people let us think we put God in the judgment seat as if we're the God. We always judge God. When we determine not to do what he said, we have judged God. I'm not going to do what you say right now, God, and it's going to be okay. You're not going to buck. You're not going to buck against me. You're not going to do anything. Watch me. Read on, Dre. I feel good today. I love the word of God.
Then said Yahweh unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened.
Wait a minute. Yahweh says unto me, first of all, you should understand if he went in and the door is closed, that means something. But then Yahweh said, just in case you don't understand, let me explain it to you so you can explain it to them. Yahweh said unto me, this gate is shut. It shall not be opened. What else?
And no man shall enter in by it.
Wait a minute. Not even Ezekiel?
No man.
Not even one of these big time bishops? Not even one of these kind that fly around in their jets that can name it and claim it? Not one of these men that are called bishop or apostle? Not even Paul? No man. So we understand right there, I'm making the difference between me and them. I have access. I just want you to understand who I am. God is talking real big talk there. But see, he can back it up. Look outside. That's his work. That's his resume. Look inside yourself. Look at the little lines in your finger. He can back this. I have access. I'm in control. Read some more, please.
No man shall enter in by it. Because Yahweh, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it, therefore it shall be shut.
I'm glad you all have your Bibles, because in the words of the late Dr. Walter Martin, we're going to need them. Let's look at another place where the Bible talking about God opening doors and closing doors that nobody can open. Let's go to the book of the Revelation. Because when we get to the Revelation, we're probably going to refer back to this here. So while we're here, let's go to the book of the Revelation and let's let God talk about how I can open the door and shut it. And I mean what I say when I say what I mean. It's going to be real pretty. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. Read through the ninth verse for me, please.
And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write.
Now, to the messenger of the church of Philadelphia, there are seven churches that are being written to. These churches were real churches. They were in a geographical area. They had people there. They had people that were pastors there. And at this particular time, while this was being written, there were some issues going on. And what Yeshua HaMashiach, when I say that to those that are not familiar, Yeshua is Jesus' real name. HaMashiach, Ha means the, Mashiach means Christ. Jesus the Christ, he is saying, I'm paying attention. Are you being separated to God? I'm paying attention. What are you doing with the privileges that I'm giving you to serve me? So to the angel or the messenger of the Church of Philadelphia, which means brotherly love, phileo and adelphos, please read.
Right. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth.
It's kind of amazing, isn't it? He's still talking about he just got the key of David, and we talked about that a little early when we were going on in the passages. But what I want you to understand, he says, he's got the key of David. And he says, he that is holy. The family needs to be able to separate the two. He is holy, and when he shuts and cuts out access, it's over. Now, when you look in the book of Matthew, and I'm not going to go there, Matthew 25, there's a parable about 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And there came a time that the door was shut. Now, if I were to go through all of the passages that shut, sometimes when God shuts something, it's good. Sometimes God in the Bible will shut you up to something good. Sometimes it'll be shut, take away access. But then again, he's showing his omniscience to know when to shut, when not to shut, and then he's showing his omnipotence that I can shut and close without your permission. What does he say in verse 8?
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door.
I know your works, you in Philadelphia. I've given you access, the open door. I know what you do because I'm paying attention. I'm not asleep. I'm better than Santa Claus. If Santa Claus can see you when you're sleeping and know it when you awake, according to the song, what about the Almighty God that lives and breathes and that always has been? Read some more.
And no man can shut it.
No man can take away your access. Let me tell you, they can take away your freedom and lock you up. They might even behead you, but they cannot take away your access to me. Mm-hmm. Bless his everlasting name. That's why Stephen was not afraid. Mm-hmm. You all want to kill me? Do what you want to do. Paul says, you know, I'm in the strait betwixt the two, whether to part and be with Christ or to stay here and help you. When I make access, nobody can take it away. Learn that. Learn that we want access from the restoration of God so that nobody can take that away from us. They might take our money. They might take some of our family members. But you can't take the access away that God gives you. You have to give that away yourself. Read some more.
For thou hast a little string and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name.
You got a little bit of strength. And you didn't deny my name. You got a little bit of strength. Why you don't have more? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, strong meat belongs to those who have by reason of use exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Milk belongs to those that are babies. The more you do and the more you obey God, the stronger you get. Some songwriter got it right one time. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. That's a part of that. Well, you work with it. You don't go to the gym and lift a weight one time and your bicep will bulge. I might look like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. You don't lift it one time and I remember... I'm going to give you a sideboard so you can laugh. I remember I used to work out and I lived in the gym when I loved the gym more than God's word. And I used to see women come there and they would get ready to exercise the first time with 2-pound weights or 5-pound weights. And I would hear them complain, I don't want to get big muscles. I don't want to get all big and bulky. And you know, the thing is that if you don't know, you might think 2 pounds is going to make you big and bulky. No. You want to get strong with God? You think just because you didn't lie when somebody, when the police pull you over, that's making you real strong in God? the stronger you get in God, the more testing, the more things that go on in your life, and you begin to depend on Him more, and you grow, and you get more faith. That's why when we were in the book of Exodus, God was so upset with them. Every time I try to test you, I let the waters be bitter. Instead of you trusting me, you cry. You don't. I give you manna to eat, and you cry for meat. You want to kill Moses. I'm trying to help you grow up, and you don't want to do it. And you don't. You'll never learn the difference between the holy and the unholy until you learn the difference between that which God set apart and that which He doesn't set apart. How can you grow? You're not even in the game. You're not even on the, you're not even on the team yet. Read some more of the sweetest word of God.
Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth.
Right here in this passage, it's important that we as the family of God know the difference between the holy and the unholy. Now, you'll find a lot of commentaries if you read, and you'll find a lot of scholars that say that this synagogue of Satan are Jews that did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the synagogue of Satan. But I would like to submit to you, you don't find that kind of talk in the Bible. What you do find in the scripture that people want to take the place of the people that God has chosen. And we see that in our world today. We have Mormons that claim to be Israel. We have a group of black people that call themselves Hebrew Israelites. They say they replaced them. We have people that call themselves British Israelites, they claim to be. So what Paul had had to take place in Galatians chapter 6, he had people that had learned and had come to the faith. And what had happened is they started taking on the Jewish customs, and the Jewish customs, and they felt, well, you got to get circumcised, you got to do this, and they wanted to replace those that God has chosen. I submit to you that this passage that we're looking at in Ezekiel is going to show the difference between the holy and the unholy, those that have been rewarded a little and those that are rewarded a lot. It is the Zadokites that's going to serve. It is not black Hebrew Israelites. It is not Mormons that's going to do it. It is not the church replacing Israel. It is God's own family that He chose from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that's doing the service, and we are grafted in, not replacing. And until we begin to realize that God is sovereign and He chooses who He will, we can allow ourselves to think anybody can replace them. Now, Tim, do you have any backup information? I got a lot of it if I'm asked questions. But we're going to move back to Ezekiel because I don't want you to forget what we're doing in Ezekiel. I wanted us to see that God is making the difference between the holy and the unholy. He shuts doors. He gives access. The access is to the Zadokites. The access is to the Levites. The access is to the Jews. When I say Jews, I'm talking about the Hebrews. And we all are going to be grafted into them, as we've talked about before, going back and forth to Jerusalem at certain times of the feast so that we can serve God acceptably. Bless His everlasting name. Go back to where you were in Ezekiel, please, and let's taste some more of this.
You want me to read verse 2 again?
Yes, you can read 2 and then we'll move on.
Then said Yahweh unto me, this gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because Yahweh, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut.
Again, access. The access is shut there. We see that access in the book of the Revelation, it was open. It was open to certain people, but those that were of the synagogue of Satan that were saying that they were Jews and are not, whether you see that or not, they didn't have the access. The access is to those who God chose. The access is to those that makes the difference between holy and unholy. And it's not that your dress is down long and you got a hat on your head. It's about being separated to God's word, His will, and His way. Read some more, Jerry, please.
It is for the prince. The prince. He shall sit in it to eat bread before Yahweh.
Now the prince can come around. He can come into the portico, the porch area, and he can eat before the Lord. That's his privilege. The prince is able to come in and eat before the Lord. Those that don't remember Genesis 18, we see a good picture of the three men that come to Abraham before God destroys Sodom in chapter 19. And when Abraham sees these three men coming, he recognizes that it's God. And God is with two angels, and he gets Sarah to prepare the bread, and had a young guy to go and kill an animal, and the meal is right there before God. And what God is wanting to be able to do is get us to the place that we can sup with him. We sing a song, Come and Dine. Mm-hmm. It's a real deal to come and dine with God. It's a real deal for us to be able to eat with the king. Now, whether you ever like Reagan or Bush or Barack or Clinton or whoever is next, to be able to eat with the president of a nation, the king of a nation, that's a high privilege. Well, you might say, well, I don't want to eat with somebody that's wicked, or I wouldn't want to eat with a king over there in Europe, or I wouldn't want to eat with an emperor in China. Then you're better than Daniel, and we'll be in him in next book. Daniel served under four administrations. Daniel, the prophet. And when we go to the book of Daniel, we'll begin to see how you're supposed to deal with different leaders in different positions, especially when you have access to them. Yes. And Daniel's just one. Mm. What about Joseph? Don't get me talking about Joseph. Joseph told his daddy, I'm a father to Pharaoh. Mm. I'm a father to him. And if his daddy was to say, what do you mean? Well, you know, nobody can start a building here. And nobody can make a law here. Nobody can come and go as they please unless they talk to me. Nobody can really get food to eat here. They all pay a fifth of what they have to me. And they've sold themselves to me for Pharaoh. I'm a father to Pharaoh. If I say do it, it happens. That's why you can have all the Goshen. Because I'm a father to Pharaoh. God has put me in this position to be like to this man. Bless his everlasting name. And guess what, Daddy? I wear the ring. Oh, hallelujah. Well, when we get to Daniel, you're going to smell some of this. Read some more, Dree.
Then brought he me by the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh.
This is a beautiful thing. Ezekiel is going by the north gate. Remember, we talking about the east, which is facing China, Iran, etc. Now he goes by the north gate, and he looks, and the glory of Yahweh is filling the house. How many people remember Isaiah 6:1? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up in his train, filled the temple, and the smoke filled it. And he saw some seraphim, that means fire. He saw some seraphim, they blazed with fire. And they were crying one to another because they knew something that the family don't recognize, that God is holy. And they cried one to another, holy?
Holy
and
holy.
Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. We don't necessarily see it, but Paul said it's there. Paul says the things that we see declare his eternal power and Godhead, so that we're without excuse. His glory is there, but then it was more concentric there. And this is what Ezekiel saw. Now, how did Ezekiel act when he saw it?
I fell upon my face.
He fell on his face, Brother Charles. In other words, I realize I'm in the presence of God. He's holy. I in of myself, I am not holy. Any holiness that I have has been given to me by God. And I'm in the presence of the Almighty, terrible one. He is awesome in his love. He is terrible in his justice. He is awesome in his mercy, but he can't stand rebellion, and I'm in his presence. Let me tell you one thing that I looked at the other day. I was riding up the road out with either Ann or one of my sons, and we rode down this road. It used to be called Simpson. They changed the names of roads in America so that they can change that we hadn't had this much crime on the street, etc. There was a big area of Georgia Power. Well, all of these, it was on the ground, all of these, whatever they are, just all kind of big, massive things with wires coming through it and transformers and things. And knowing what I know about electricity, if an individual were to go out there and just happen to touch the wrong thing, or ran and fell and touched, he could die. There's a lot of power. It was like a station. It would cover a lot of area. Now, if you can have that much fear of all these electrical things right there in a power unit or a substation, how much more if you're in the presence of God and he fell on his face? Would to God that the family of God recognize God's holiness, and mentally we fall on our face before God and say, you know what? You're so powerful. You're so sovereign. Whatever you want, I'm at your beck and call. Read some more, please.
And Yahweh said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears.
So in other words, don't just have a feeling inside of your heart. Look at what I'm showing you. Listen to what I'm saying, because you got a message to give to somebody. Mm-hmm. You're not eating a scroll now. Pay attention to what I'm doing, because there's always a message in what I'm doing. There's a message in who I am, and there's a message in what I'm saying. Pay attention. But didn't Jesus say the same thing? Be careful how you see. Be careful how you hear. You let somebody tell you something that God didn't say, and you live your life that way, and you don't make a difference between holy and unholy, and you never get to the chance where you can even be a person that's going to be rewarded by God. Not in the way you want. I do want to give you all this for free. God rewards everybody. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, he said, Behold, I come quickly. Mm-hmm. And my reward is with me. Mm-hmm. To give to every man. Mm-hmm. According as his work shall be. So God even calls eternal damnation a reward. We in America, we make reward be the good stuff. Well, God says it's all a reward, because I'm paying. I will never be accused, and it be true, of not paying a man what he deserves. Please read.
I've lost my place.
Go to 6 then. Now you can go back to 5 and then
Mark
hit 6.
Mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears all that I say unto thee, concerning all the ordinances of the house of Yahweh.
Hold your finger there. Hold your pen there for a second. Just understand, these people are being restored. These people are in the presence of God. These people are going to have to make a difference between the holy and unholy. They're going to see their rank that they have in that particular place. But there's still ordinances that must be followed. Do not think that when God allows you restoration that you can come back and do your own thing. Mm-hmm. God is not like the Isley brothers saying it's your thing. Do what you want to do. No. It's my thing, and you do what I want you to do. And if these songs send you to hell, Lisa.
For real.
Yes. And even what that song is talking about is send you right there. You'll be disobedient to God. Mm-hmm. Read some more of the word of God.
And all the laws thereof.
In other words, the ordinances and his laws. Do not let anyone, I don't care if they're 10 times more eloquent than I am. I don't care if they're 40 times more beautiful than I am. I don't care if their list of degrees can wrap all the way around Chuck Missler's neck. And Chuck Missler have a lot of degrees. If they tell you you don't have to keep God's law, the first thing should come to your mind is, why is God writing them on my heart and in my mind? Why is the Bible saying that the law of God is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? You better make that person defined, because God is the number one lawgiver. And if we're going to be in covenant with him, we're going to be keeping his laws in some way, somehow. And an explanation should be given to you, and then you begin to understand whatever he tells you to do. Whether you call it a law or not, that's your law. Whatever he tells you not to do. One of the hardest things he tells us to do is to love one another. Mm. One of the hardest things he tells us to do is to love him. So you get people walking around in the asininity of their mind saying that God loves me like I am. Mm. And you feel good. kingdom is not, the kingdom of God is not prepared for those who God loves. Do you hear me, Pop? The kingdom of God is not prepared for those that he loves. Not primarily, not secondarily. It's prepared for those that love him. The first commandment, Jesus said, and the second one that's like unto it, is love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. But how do I know if I love God? John chapter 14, 21 says that he that hath my commandments, that they say you don't need, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. 23rd verse says, and I will love him. And he'll be loved by my Father. And we'll come into him and make our abode. You'll be a walking tabernacle. You won't be a walking tabernacle. You won't be a walking tabernacle, Brother Tate. I know I do. I don't want to defile it either, because God has shown how desolate a tabernacle. That desolate mean I leave it. Preach the most sweet word of God. It's so pretty.
And thou shalt say, I'm sorry, I'm back in five.
Yet the ordinances of the house of the Lord and the laws thereof, and mark well
the entering in of the house with every going forth of the sanctuary.
That when you see sanctuary, just think of the separate place or holy place, okay? That's what it means. And if you can look at a building and say this is a sanctuary or this is a sacred place, but you can't look in the mirror and see that you are a sanctuary or a sacred place, something's wrong. Something's wrong. In other words, for the family, he's showing even here, you're going to make a difference between the holy and the unholy. In this case, you're making a difference between what's more holy than the next. Not that the other place is not. The whole area around it is holy. The outer court, they have an outer court like that, is holy. And an inner court, that's holy. And then the temple proper is holy. Then it has a holy place and a most holy place. Different degrees of separation. Please read.
And thou shalt say to the rebellion.
Wait a minute. Did you catch that, Brother Charles? Here are people that are being restored. Here are people being able to come in God's presence. And do you know when people say the Bible say God won't remember your sins anymore and all of this? I say that's not what it means. You think that if I went out here and shot a man dead 10 years ago, gave my life to God, walking uprightly, filled with the Holy Ghost and power of the Holy Spirit for those that believe that the word ghost is antiquated, outdated, and no longer should be used. The Holy Spirit and power walking the walk that God can't remember that I killed that man. It means he's not going to hold it against me. But he remembers. Wait a minute. How can I remember and have remorse that I killed a man and God not know my thought? How can that family who lost a daddy or a brother remember that God not know it? God still remembers our dirt. The one thing we want to know is that does he not hold it against us? Now, a lot of times God cannot hold something against you and allow you to be saved, but you may never be able to serve in the capacity that you once would. Somebody said, Tim, where you get that from? David, you're a bloody man. You can't build my house. I let your son build it. But this passage we read today, they're going to show that. Read some more.
And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations.
Look, I'm bringing you back. I'm the one initiating this temple. I'm the one initiating being in your presence. You didn't tell me. You couldn't make me. I'm doing it on my own because I have a love for you. I have a covenant. And so many of you all I've killed off. Naomi killed a lot of them off because they were so rigid and ungodly and detestable. And so for those that saw that, and they are the remnant, I still need you to understand. This is how you got to the place that you have to be restored and have to repent. Don't get it twisted. Don't forget, you were wicked. You were ungodly. So I'm telling you, you are the rebellious house that I'm bringing back in. I don't know anybody here that hadn't been wicked before. That's over the age of 18. And I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I told him to change his ways. Asking wasn't working. Read some more.
in that ye have brought unto my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat, and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations.
Do you see? Do you see? This is what Paul is able, like Paul wrote Hebrews, to say, the law wasn't weak. God found fault with them. Do you understand that they brought into his holy place? They didn't understand the difference between holy and holy. So I'm going to reiterate it. I'm bringing it back to your face. Excuse me. You all are supposed to be the family of God. The reason you're in this position, you were rebellious. It was the same as doing witchcraft. Your iniquity was as idolatry. Yes, it was. He said, and you brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart. Your heart's not tender toward me. God say, do this, and you say, no, I won't. God say, stop doing that. You don't tell me what to do. And you don't say it like that. So when God say, stop doing this, you say, well, I'll stop one day. Well, I'm going to think about it. Do you understand your action is saying, no, I won't? Do you understand if God say, do this, and you say, I'm going to think about it, that means no. You learn that if you're a commissioned salesman. If I was supposed to be selling this water and selling it for 75 cents a piece, and they would pay me a quarter, and if they said, well, you know, you can sell it by the case. The case has 32 in it. If you sell it out of every one you sell, you'll get a dollar. Well, if every time I go to try to sell it to the stores, they say, we're going to think about it. We're going to think about it. I try to sell it to an individual. We're going to think about it. I go home at the end of the day and say, how much money did you make? Well, I had about 100 people say they were going to think about getting 20 cases. And I had a lot of individuals say, if I come out here tomorrow, they're going to buy it on their way to work. How much money did I make? None. They told me no. Not now is no. If it's dependent on you getting that sold. Well, if your soul is dependent on you being obedient to God and not being called rebellious, you don't tell God no. A good mama don't let their child keep telling her no. Because after a while, the child will show you and be telling you no. You go to spank them and they slap you in the face. Tell you no. Tell me I hadn't seen it before. I've seen some folly. Now, the Bible said you have brought these people into my sanctuary, uncircumcised of heart. The problem with that is, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 23:2-4, they had been told in previous temples how to serve God, even in the tabernacle. Listen to what the Bible says, Deuteronomy 23:2. He that is wounded in the stones, that's in his genitals, or has his private member cut off, that's for people that want a good laugh, that's been Lorena Bobbitt. You know, something bad happened and you know you lose that member, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. It says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Yes, the Bible used words like bastard. Use it more than one time. A bastard, according to the scripture, it has something to do with the parents. The child comes here, but the parent didn't legitimize what they were doing. They were outside of God's will, and they brought that child here without the protection that the child's supposed to have of mother and father. And God said, because of what you did, not that the child is wicked, not that the child is ungodly, it's got to be a difference between holy and unholy. And therefore, since I started out with a man that was wicked and ungodly, Aaron, and I allowed him to be restored, yes, I did, I gave him the priesthood, then his family line was supposed to stay that way. I know what I'm talking about. We'll get to it. We'll see what kind of men they were supposed to marry. After the third, well, a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord to the tenth generation, and he shall not enter into the congregation. In the congregation shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Then they talk about the Ammonites and Moabites not being able to enter. Now, here's the thing that's funny to me. David is a descendant of Phares. Perez and Zerah were the children that were illegitimately conceived when Judah paid for sex from Tamar. Mm-hmm. Children of Israel decided, we just got to have a king. It's just all it is to it. We're going to have a king. We tired of you, Samuel. You're old. You're old. Well, God allows them to have a king, and the king turns out, after God gives him a new heart, new spirit, he turns out and still was wicked. In the 10th generation, guess who got to be king? The son or the descendant of Perez. His name was David. God is consistent. God is consistent in his righteousness and his godliness. Read some more, please, where you were.
And ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves.
Now, the problem is with these priests, you all, they're supposed to represent the family to God. They have not kept the charge. That means the guard of separating the holy and unholy. You've let foreigners in here. You've let uncircumcised of heart and flesh. And instead of you guarding things like you're supposed to, you went and got somebody else and gave them the job. Somebody say, Tim, where you get some of that from? I'm glad you asked. Drew, if you will, go to 2 Kings 11 in the 4th verse. And I'm going to ask Ann to go to Numbers chapter 18 for me, and 18:1. I want us to see how the children of Israel did that. And I will submit to you what we often do is we get somebody to do what we're supposed to do. And if it's really something that God wants you to do, you're being disobedient. Look at what they did in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. Please read.
And the 7th year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards.
Do you all remember Jehoiada? Do you all remember Athaliah, the wicked queen that killed all of her husband's sons so that she could be the queen? And then one of the sons got away because of his nurse, and Jehoiada the priest kept him. This is that Jehoiada. So we're in that time frame where this woman has killed all of her sons so that she could be, is his son or grandsons? Athaliah. She killed all of her descendants, the male descendants, so that she could be queen. Read on.
With the captains and the guard, and brought them to him into the house of Yahweh.
Now notice what it just said he did, because you can miss this. Jehoiada, what he did, he did right, but then he went and got captains of the guard, and then he bring them to the house of the Lord. He didn't say Levites. And made a covenant and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. Read some more.
And he commanded them, saying, this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house.
Wait a minute. You have decided you're going to take some people and put them over guarding the king's house. Read on.
And a third part shall be at the gate of Sur, and a third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall you keep the watch of the house, that it be not broken down.
So you got them doing the king's house. That's fine. But in verse 4, the problem is, you brought them into the house of the Lord. Then you're going to make them be open them in the house of the Lord. Read on where you were, Dree. We got some more for you.
And ye shall compass the king round about.
Go around the king and circle him.
Every man with his weapons in his hand, and he that comes within the ranges, let him be slain. And be ye with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And they took every man, his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest.
And what he has done is he has taken them, put them guards over himself, got them in the house of the Lord, taken oath in the house of the Lord, and he's circumventing what is supposed to be that was given in Numbers chapter 18. Probably the first and second verse, and then skip to the seventh. And
so the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons in your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary. and you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony.
The Levites are supposed to work with Aaron. Aaron is the priest. They are offering the offerings to God. All of the Levites didn't get to offer offerings to God, but their jobs were to be guards, gatekeepers, etc. Go ahead and read the third verse.
They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die.
The separation between the holy and unholy and the privileges of those that are in certain positions, he kept a distinction between them. And the distinction between them is if you violate the holiness of this, they will die. They will be put to death. Go ahead and read the 6th and 7th verse.
And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord, to do the service of the tent of meeting.
These are the qualifications. This is the separation. Your job is to guard. Aaron and his sons are to offer sacrifices to the Lord. It's a separation in the qualification. The qualifications are given by God. I don't think that the other people didn't have the ability to offer the things, but it's the fact that you have not been qualified by being set apart to do it. Now look at the 7th verse. Here's the juice.
And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood as a gift. And any outsider who comes near shall be put to death.
Your King James will say any stranger that comes in will be put to death. Look at what Ezekiel is indicting them for. In verse 7, Ezekiel 44, you are brought into my sanctuary as strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, into my sanctuary to pollute it and offer my bread. You've even taken them past being a guard. You're letting them offer sacrifice. You broke my covenant because of all your abominations. A lot of those people should have been put to death, but you bringing them in. What is the difference between the unholy and unholy? That God rejects, we should reject. That God says is not is worthy, we should say is not worthy. But what they decided is, well, it's not that bad. We'll hire some to do it. And you don't make a difference. When the family does that, the family is ready for chaos. Go ahead and read the next verse, please. In Ezekiel.
Thus saith Yahweh Adonai.
That's verse 9. Go ahead.
No stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel.
This goes right back to what Moses had taught the people when we look in Exodus chapter 12. 12 and 43, I'll just give you a little taste. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought with money, not Moses, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. If one house shall it be eaten, in one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry it abroad. What God was setting up here is that when you're going to serve me, I need you to understand you are the light of the world, not the foreigners, not the strangers. You need to be able to set a difference between me and everybody else so that they can learn from you. Mm-hmm. And then they can come and amalgamate, but they are not going to be the priesthood. Because Aaron, the priesthood, is bearing the burden. Everybody's not qualified to bear the burden. Leviticus chapter 8 showed the 8-day cycle that they went through to be able to bear the burden. Bless the mighty name of God forever. Verse number 10, Dree.
And the Levites that are gone away far from me when Israel went astray.
See, that doesn't mean that they went to Iran. That doesn't mean they went to America. That doesn't mean that they went down to Sudan. They went far away from me with their not separating the holy from the unholy. They were supposed to be the guardians of the tabernacle, which means the guardian of my presence for the family. Please read.
Which went astray from me after their idols.
They went and served idols. Go ahead.
They shall even bear their iniquity.
They're going to bear their iniquity. Although they're restored, Although they're brought back into my presence, I want you to feel this. Although they're restored and brought back into my presence, although I'm going to allow them to serve me and be there, he's saying they're going to bear their iniquity. I've told people before, just because you come back to God, if your leg got cut off, you were out there drag racing, being a fool, and you got shot in the head, messing with somebody's wife, and your eye is gone, it's just not going to grow back. I mean, yes, God can do anything, but usually he don't make your eyes grow back or make your leg come back. I've seen a lot of people in wheelchairs living in Atlanta that have been shot doing stuff when they sold drugs. If they turn and give their life to God right away, that doesn't mean God's going to let them get up and walk. You still have a consequence in this life, but your soul can be saved. Why don't we turn before we're in a wheelchair, locked up, and can't get out? Please read some more, Dree.
Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary.
Now that's a good thing. In spite of, they turned their back on me, yet I will still allow them to minister. They got to get rid of the rebellion. They got to make a difference between the holy and unholy. They got to understand they're down a little bit lower than once they once were. They understand the difference in the qualification. Haven't I told you all before that I believe that had I never turned my back on God, that God would allow me to do even more than I'm doing now? That's what I believe. But I believe that I'm walking with God and I'm saved. But I mean, I can't go back and erase years of dirt. But in the words of some people that I see on TV, let's move forward. Read, Dree.
Having charge at the house, at the gates of the house, and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them.
You still got an important job. Now, in the older part of the scripture, if we look at it, the worshiper would do it himself. Do you remember when we went to Leviticus? In Leviticus, look at Leviticus 1 and 5 in your mind. I'll read it. It says the individual, he brings his thing, his animal. It says he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle it. Now we see that there's a modification. They are killing the animal for the person. Please read.
Because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity, therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith Yahweh Adonai.
Because the priests, the leaders, they were wicked, they were ungodly, they led the people astray, they didn't make a difference in the holy and the unholy, they don't have the same position that they once had, they are unqualified to serve where they are, but because of the restoration, I'm allowing them to serve in a different capacity. Do you see it? Do you see? Because a lot of times people think, I can go live any kind of life and I'll come back to God and everything will be just like it once was. You don't understand. There are times we miss opportunities to do greatness for God. There are still some greatness that can be done, but don't be putting things off thinking God won't remember. You know, you could be the greatest man in the world, whatever, whoever he is, but you could have still probably been greater. You take away from what God wants to do with you. You say, well, I just get God my life when I get old and decrepit. Some people don't say it verbally, but watch how they live. Read, Dree.
And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed.
Does that stick out to anybody other than me? Mm-hmm. That they are restored? Mm-hmm. They're getting to serve. But God say, I remember how you let me down last time. Mm-hmm. I'm restoring you. You're going to be a righteous people. You're getting to be inside the sanctuary where other people aren't. But I remember what you did before. Mm-hmm. You let me down. You put me in a bad light before the ungodly in the world. You put me in a bad light before the people. I told you all again last time about Samuel when his son would lay up with the women, like that preacher I talked about before, and would take, and God took the priesthood from that line. This is what we're talking about. They did dirt. Read some more.
But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein.
I thank God that I got a passage like this in the Bible to show that even when you have blown it, when you've blown it really bad, if God is willing to grant you repentance and bring you back, He still have a magnificent work for you to do. But rest fully assured, if God has already replaced you with someone else, He's just going to set them down to lift you up. Let's say a man is a pastor of a church and he gets into wickedness and ungodliness, and he goes to prison. And the man really does come back changed. I know you don't think it can happen. It can. But there's another pastor there now. And this other pastor is doing God's will. And the assembly accept this person. Well, that doesn't mean they have to make him back pastor. He could just serve the other pastor. This is what we're seeing here. We're seeing that you've got to make a difference between the holy and unholy. Separate themselves to Yahweh. They went and served idols. They did abominations. Their qualifications or their rewards were less now because you were brought down. But the one we get ready to read, theirs were lifted up. And then we see that there are different qualifications. Read, we're going to move a little quicker through this part. We're still in chapter, the verse we're on. She's reading in verse 15 where he's making a transition.
Okay. But the priest of the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me.
What it's saying is they were faithful. There's a reward in being faithful. There's a reward in being faithful. Read on.
They shall come near to me to minister unto me.
So if you don't understand coming near to God in that particular setup in the tabernacle is special, that means that you are closer to God. That means you bear the sins of others. You get a chance to get in the very presence of the Almighty and offer sacrifice. If you don't see that's a great thing, you don't understand that the Zadokites were rewarded for what they've done. Because some people say, I've been living right all my life, and I don't get no more than somebody just came back. Well, we're not talking about eternal life here. We're talking about the role. The role. Do you understand? There are roles that God has for us in eternity. We have different roles. That's why I talk about our works are going to be tried. We have roles. What role do you want? And we see a glimpse of it here. The Zadokites have a greater responsibility to get to come closer to God because they were faithful. Read on.
And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith Adonai Yahweh.
16.
They shall enter into my sanctuary.
See, the Levite, you can't do it anymore. You blew it, but you still can serve me. You're still my Levites, but I have put someone else that will be faithful to me, and I rewarded them for their faithfulness. I would to God that the family of God would separate themselves to Yahweh to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, because you do it now. When you raise from the dead, you'll already be used to doing it in whatever position God put you in. Bless his everlasting name. It's going to be based on how you served here. Read.
And they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within.
Read on.
They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat.
In other words, what we're looking at is you've got the same type of garments that you had on before. This is not a sexual cult. You're going to have on linen underwear. They're going to have it covering up themselves. They're going to have linen on them that's going to be white. And they're going to have nothing on them that causes sweat or anything that can allow any perfusion or any kind of fluid to come out of their body or anything that can contaminate those garments. I'm not going to let them put on wool. In other words, you're going to not only be holy, but you're going to be clean, ceremonially clean. Here is the other thing. When we see that these people that are doing this are the Zadokites, I was thinking to myself, somebody might ask me, who are the Zadokites? What are the Zadokites? Well, in brief, the Zadokites, you can read about them in First Chronicles. I'll read a little bit out of chapter 24 and 1. Now it just says that these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. This is during the days of David. Nadab and Abihu and Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord. God killed them when they offered strange fire. Verse 3. It says, and David distributed them both, Zadok, the sons of Eleazar, and Halimelech, the sons of Ithamar, according to their offices. So these are the descendants of Aaron, but these are the ones that got the priesthood during the time of David. And the ascendancy of the Zadokites. You want to know how they raised up to that position? In 1 Kings 1, verse 5, during the times of the different kings, notice what happened. Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I'll be king. I'm just going to be king. I want to take over. So the Bible says, it said he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him like they did. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, why have you done so? And he says he was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, and they followed Adonijah. But listen to verse 8. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rea, the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. What is going on here, in case you're not familiar? David had a son that tried to take over the kingdom. His name was Absalom. Then he had another son that called himself going to be king. David is old. He's going to try to jump in front of Solomon. And you got some men to follow you. But Zadok did not get caught up in that dissimulation and in that folly. He showed himself to be faithful. That's what he did. And so God is rewarding him. And you see this in Ezekiel. Zadok didn't do that. He didn't follow idols. He didn't follow somebody trying to usurp my authority on who's going to be king. And so God remembers. He rewards both the good and the evil. In this passage, it ought to be encouraging to those of us who have fallen by the wayside that God will still take us back and still use us. It ought to mean something. Last little part I want to read is 1 Samuel 3 and 11 about the Zadokites. It says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel. This is when Samuel was a lad, that it will cause both the ears of everyone to hear it tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all those things that I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice and offering forever. They did not follow me, and we got to see that they were replaced. That's who the Zadokites are, those that followed God, those that David acknowledged, and that they were the ones that did not even get caught up in the uprising when he tried to make a coup, Adonijah. Give me 17 and back in 44.
17 or 19?
No, 19. You're right, and I'm wrong.
And when they go forth into the utter court...
Utter is outer. I don't know why they use utter. Don't know.
Even into the outer court, to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments.
What that means is when they go to the other chambers, they take off the holy garments, because if they touch you with those garments, you will become holy. You will become, well, now that doesn't mean that you're righteous. That means now you have touched something now that you become holy. You are now in the position that you have to live up to a standard. There are certain things you can't touch, or the wrath of God will come on you. That's what it means to be holy. When you come to be holy before God, there are certain things you can't do. Why do you think Nadab and Abihu was killed? When an individual contracts holiness on them, they are on a different standard. That's why the Levites, where they would try to come inside and offer sacrifices that the Zadokites were supposed to do, they'd be put to death. So when you take these garments out, so you don't contaminate the people with holiness that they're not prepared for. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? Look at Leviticus 8 and look at all of the preparation that had to take place before the Levites, the sons of Aaron, got to serve so that they could be prepared for the holy job they had to do. And you're going to come in and contract holiness and you're not prepared, you're not consecrated or dedicated, that's a scary place to be in. Please read.
They shall put off their garments wherein they ministered and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments.
That sanctify, that means that you will not make the people holy by touching them. See, that holiness is not just you, how you live. It's things that are set apart. And so when the family realized that they're supposed to have a life set apart to God, you don't just do everything. You don't just go everywhere. Because we're supposed to be making light in this dark world. Bless his everlasting name. And you see how important that is? You go out there and you go and you make these people holy with your garment and they're not prepared. They get slaughtered by me. Because they've been touched. They've been holy. They don't even know what they're supposed to do. They're not qualified. They're not qualified to be on that level of holiness. That level of holiness that means to come before me and offer sacrifices. Not that they're not on the level of holiness that they're righteous and can live before me, but that's not their job. It's not my job to try to bear children. That would be unholy for me. I don't care what the doctors can do through modern medicine. Mm-hmm. That would be unholy for me. Do you get it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are certain things it's not for you to do. Please read, Tree.
Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long.
You're not doing Nazarite's vows, Numbers chapter 6, read on.
They shall only pull their heads.
Pull it back and cut it. You're not pull it back and cut it. Mm-hmm. You're not going to shave it. You're not an Egyptian. You're not shaving it like they try to keep themselves so clean. You don't shave it. You're going to have hair. But you're not going to be a Nazarite letting your hair grow because you're already able to come close to me. Please read.
Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court.
Now somebody take this and say a priest can't drink wine. That's a damnable lie. There's a qualifier here. Mm-hmm. When they enter the court. They're not always entering the court. People want to make things ungodly that God did not say is ungodly. When we read the Bible enough, we'll see that they use wine for libations. Neither shall he drink wine when he come to do my work. Don't come in here lit. It's worse than buzz driving. It's worse than drinking. You come in here and you mess around and what you end up doing, profaning the holy, or making the common holy, and you confusing the issue, and you get put to death. And that's when that first came. If you go look at Leviticus 10 and 10, and they say that you put difference between holy and unholy, and unclean and clean, it came right after God killed Nadab and Abihu, and he tells them, don't drink wine when they do my service. Read the next verse.
Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before.
Now do you see when he said a bastard would not come in the congregation of the Lord? When I read that a little earlier, I said that the children of Aaron, that they supposed to have a line that came through the right way. Look at the qualification. Mm-hmm. This is what they had then. This was a qualification back then. It's just reiterated. Mm-hmm. It's just reiterated. Read some more. It's going to show you some more about that same thing. And it's a stipulation when you can.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
So if a woman is a widow, Rich, and you're a priest, I don't care how beautiful she was, I don't care if she was wealthy, or whatever it is that men want, if she were not married to a priest, you can't marry her. But if she had been married to a priest before, had been one in the twain with a priest before, you could marry her. If she was a virgin, you could marry her. Somebody say, that don't make sense. When do you get to judge for God what makes sense? Boy, sometimes folk just need to shut up. It's the truth. Because you end up saying some of the most things, you end up saying some things that are so asinine that you show that you think you know more about than what God does. And the reiteration of this is what we've seen before, but this is the reiteration. The first time we see him saying things like this in Leviticus 21 and 7, when he talks about the priests, they shall not take the wife of a whore, or take, they shall not take a wife that is a whore, okay, or profane.
Well, that either.
Yeah, we do live in a modern world. Neither shall they take a woman put away from her holy, from her husband, for he is holy to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then we see, even then, he said, you'll take a wife in her virginity. And in verse 14 of the 21st chapter, it says, a widow or a divorced woman, or profane, or a harlot, he shall not take these, but he shall take a wife of the virgin of his own people. In other words, they were supposed to protect the line of the priesthood, and they didn't. Read on.
And they shall teach my... I'm sorry. I'm in verse 24. Mm-hmm. And in controversy...
I want you to go back to 23.
Okay. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
We should do that with our lives. Read on verse 24. This is amazing.
And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment.
In controversy, they shall stand in what?
Judgment.
You ain't supposed to judge. In controversy, they will stand in what?
In judgment.
Oh, but the cry of people today is you're not supposed to judge. That's another damnable lie. How do you put a difference between unclean and unclean? How do you separate yourself to God unless you do judgment? When God is a judge, when you separate to God, you're supposed to know what judgment is. Let the scripture prove it. Read.
And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment.
Read on.
And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assembly. And they shall hallow my Sabbath.
You see, the judgment is not theirs. The judgment is the Lord. The judgment should not be ours. It should be the Lord. Next verse.
And they shall come at no dead person.
Because of the fact God is wanting to show that they bring about life, they're following him, so you're not going to be contaminated with the dead. Please read.
They shall come at no dead person to defile themselves, but for father or for mother or for son or for daughter, for brother or for sister that have had no husband, they may defile themselves.
In other words, you can mourn, you can touch the dead body of a close relative that's in this passage, but there's still an issue that takes place. And you'll see that in the case with Aaron, when his sons died, because they were unclean, they were ungodly, God would not let Aaron mourn. But in the case of a natural death, they could do that. Please read it. Let it tell some more.
And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days.
After he is cleansed, there's a process that we went through in Leviticus. You touch a dead body, you wash it even, and you're clean. But after you wash, and you're clean, after you're clean, there's another qualification that has to take place. What is it?
And in the day that he goes into the sanctuary, unto the inner court, to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith Adonai Yahweh.
God does not want death in his temple. God does not want us remaining in the congregation of the dead. You touch a dead body, you're unclean, you're washed and you're clean. For 7 days, you have to abstain from doing your duty. And in the eighth day, you bring back a purification offering. That's what's taking place. A lot of us, sometimes we do things we have no business doing. We got to get it reconciled. How did that fit for us today? Let's say I lie on Ashley. And let's say it's an unpurposeful lie, but I said something that wasn't true. Now, I need to get that right with Ashley. Don't I need to get that right with Ashley? Don't I need to get that straight with Ashley? Then I need to go get it right with God. Here in this case, you hadn't sinned. You touched a dead body. But you're ceremonially unclean. Wash and be clean. Go through the process of what I say to get back restored to your job. Bring an offering to purify that death from you. And then you restore back to the position of life serving me. God's word is so pretty all the way through. Read some more so we can go home.
And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance.
Did you get that? If you find a church that always tells you got to get money, and you got to get more money, paper, cabbage, whatever they want to call it, and God is not the inheritor, then you're not really understanding how to be separate to God. When you're separate to God, God is your inheritance. And if he gives you money, that's fine. If he don't give you money, that's fine. God is your inheritance when you serve him. God, remember I taught one time that we should run for God and embrace him when he's chastening us, when he's making us go through hard times, when he's making things hard on us, when we're in pain and in punishment, that we should embrace God then the most because we realize he's doing that so he don't have to destroy us. Yes. Didn't I teach that? Yes. I didn't make it up. God don't want us walking around in the congregation of the dead. He wants us to be restored even when we mess up in our service. Get right with one another. Get right with me. Quit your folly. Read some more.
And you shall give them no possession in Israel.
They don't get any extra possession, Ashley. Everybody else can have all this property and stuff that's allocated. God said, am I enough? Am I enough? Am I enough for you? Am I big enough for you? Mm-hmm. Am I bad enough for you? Am I righteous enough for you? Am I loving enough for you? Are my judgments good enough for you? Mm-hmm. Because if it's not, then you the problem is you, not me. Mm-hmm. I'm your inheritance. Read on.
I am their possession.
Good God Almighty.
They shall eat the meat offering and the sin offering and the trespass offering.
The meat offering is the grain. The trespass offering is the reparation offering. Read on.
And every dedicated thing in Israel shall be there.
If God said that this is dedicated, don't touch it. This is God. This is for me. Because the dedicated thing is when they went to war sometime, there will be certain things that God says under the ban. It's dedicated. It was under the ban. And if God says under the ban, you can't have it. If he says under the ban, and the priests have it, et cetera, that's what it's talking about. It's set apart. It's set apart to Yahweh. And God is saying, I'm their portion. So out of the sacrifices that I make them have, I'm feeding my people. It's mine. But that was a whole bull. They got that whole bull. It's mine. You gave it to me, and I gave it to the Zedekites. You got a problem with it? I'm their inheritance. I give them what I want to. Didn't you hear Jesus talk like that one time? He gave a parable, went to get somebody to work early in the morning. I pay you a penny, a denarius. Somebody in the second hour, same thing. Somebody worked at the 11th hour, got paid the same thing as those that worked all day in the sun. And they got angry. You made them equal with us. They were the same thing that... The same thing that we did, it ain't right. It ain't right. I done worked out here all day, and the mosquitoes are biting me, and I'm sweating, and my deodorant is paying. I said, it ain't working, and you paid him the same thing. And the man said, wait a minute, hold up, partner. Is this my money? Just get the thing right. Is this my money? Yep. But can I do with my money what I want to? Yep. Then why is your eye evil? Standing against me being generous. Take that's yours and go on about your business. Read the passage. The man is very, very forward. He said, take that is thine and get out of my face. So when God say in this, when he look, it's that 29th verse, they'll eat the meat offering, the grain, they'll eat the sin offering for purification, they'll eat the trespass offering, and everything that's in Israel, a dedicated thing, will be theirs. Now, you don't have to like it. It's mine. I told you I'm their inheritance. Read on. Two more verses.
And the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblation, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house.
What do you know about one of those preachers that like to beat people out of their money? I could use that one, couldn't I? Will you bless the people that do the work of God? God gonna bless your house and God gonna... Well, the passage is saying here, if the man is doing God's will, yes, he will. But that is not taught. And that's not said for them to go out there and beat the people down because God had a prescribed amount for them to have. And at this particular time, the priests that were doing this work, they were actually bearing the sins of the people. They wasn't out going jigabugging all day, running around, laying up with the women, spreading HIV, going out golfing all the time, not doing God. You could see they were doing God's work, okay? It wasn't like they weren't doing it. You brought your animal. You talking about this big old bull killing it, taking blood where it needs to be, boiling certain parts, skinning certain parts. You knew they were doing God's work, and it wasn't just going to one man. It was going for the benefit of it all, but God said it's mine. And so what people do, they take this kind of passage and they build them up a fortune. And instead of God being the inheritance, we'll take what God has given, but what we do is we try to build ourselves a security blanket with it. And that's not right. Read the last verse.
The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself, or torn, whether it be fowl or beef.
So that means that when the priest has something, if let's say a lion went out there and attacked one of his animals, and you got the lion away, and you say, well, this meat's still some good. You're a priest. You can't eat it. You can't eat it. If it's a sheep and a wolf got there, kill it, or if it fall and break his arm. But if he fall and break his neck and it die, and you happen to get out there, and you can't. That you got to separate yourself to God. So the life of the flesh and the blood, you pour the blood out, but you don't go getting something that's dead of itself and bring it to you. We've seen in this passage today that they had to separate themselves to God so they would understand the difference between holy and unholy. We see in this particular passage today that there were rewards. There were rewards. There were rewards for the Zedekites, higher, closer position to God. The Levites that had turned their back on God, they were restored. They were brought back into fellowship. They were closer than other people in the service, but there was a difference in reward. Do you see it? It's a beautiful thing to see that God can restore us and we don't have to feel like we left out. Because a lot of times all we think about is, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I'm sanctified. I'm going to heaven. But what about rewards? Most of the time when we hear about rewards for people, you know what we normally hear when we hear about rewards for people? We hear about if you live a wicked and ungodly life, you're going to heaven anyway, you'll just lose rewards. That's not how it worked. And we also saw today that what God does is he places people in the positions he wants them to do. He qualifies them for the position. But it looks like, according to this particular place, one was given because of birth, but the second one was given because of how faithful you were. Learn the difference between the holy and unholy, the unclean and clean. Live your life in such a way that you can have rewards in God's heaven and his kingdom. Have more than what you have right now. Be faithful. He's got plenty to give to us. He wants to be our inheritance. Lastly, make sure you live your life in such a way that God will allow you and add more to you, qualify you for more and more and more. Don't go and turn your back on God, and then maybe if God grants you repentance, 5 or 6 years you come back, and then you're less of a person than you are now. The message of Ezekiel is that restoration, back to what he wanted with them from the start. We can have some of that too. Father, thank you for your mercy and your goodness and your grace. Thank you for letting us know that we need to separate to you. That separation to you is being holy. You are separate. And that we will make a difference between being separated to you, holy and unholy, unclean and clean. That we'll be faithful to you. That we realize there are certain things that you do prepare us for, and that we realize, Lord, you are a diligent you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek you. Help us to be faithful to you, I pray in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Magnificent Christ. Amen, amen, even so, amen.